Good afternoon, dear colleagues. I would like to greet Commissioner Didier Reynders that we have the pleasure of having once again here in our parliament. It's a pleasure to receive a politician with the experience of Commissioner Reynders. He has been a minister, vice prime minister, member of parliament, and he has a lot of relevance. And once again, I'd like to thank you for your presence here. And let us begin our meeting. We have members of parliament from two committees, European Affairs and also for Constitutional Affairs, Rights, Freedoms and Guarantees. And the vice chair will help in the moderation of this meeting. You are all familiar with the rules of this meeting. We have agreed that we'll allow you to make an initial intervention of 10 minutes, and each of the groups, each of the parties will have 3 minutes to actually put questions, and after that you will have also the opportunity to answer at the end of the session. I see that there is no independent member of parliament here, so we have 3 minutes for each of the parliamentary groups. So I'm very pleased to give you the floor, Mr. Commissioner.
Obrigado. Thank you, Chair, and ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be with you again, if I may, because during the pandemic it was more by video that we had many meetings with the national parliament. But it's a pleasure to be in person with you to exchange, first of all, on the situation of the rule of law in the EU, and more specifically, if I may, in my introduction, in Portugal. You know that in 2020, after the publication of the first rule of law report, we had the chance to exchange virtually, and again, I'm happy that for this exercise, we are all in the same, on the same room. The rule of law is of the utmost importance for the Commission. The European Union, in fact, is based on the rule of law, and respect for these values guarantees the protection of all other values, including democracy and fundamental rights. And faced with Russia's military aggression against Ukraine, we need to underline even more how crucially important the rule of law is. In July last year, the Commission published its third annual rule of law report, and the 2022 report includes, for the first time, recommendations to all the Member States. They aim to support Member States in their efforts to take forward reforms and encourage positive developments, and you have a specific role, of course, in the reform process with different laws that it's needed to adopt to fulfill all the requirements of the rule of law report, but also to improve the situation in the country. Let me now present the main findings of the country chapter for Portugal of the 2022 report. For Portugal, like for all the Member States, the Commission looks at four areas which are key for the rule of law: the independence, quality and efficiency of the justice system, the anti-corruption framework, media pluralism and media freedom, and other institutional checks and balances. Regarding the justice system, the report takes note that the government is taking a series of measures to address efficiency challenges. Similarly, there are efforts to address the issue of the deficit of human resources. The Commission is aware that the deficit of non-judicial court staff may require further action. As recalled in our report, according to European standards, a sufficient number of appropriately qualified support staff should be allocated to the courts. This would also be essential to ensure that the measures that Portugal is preparing to improve the efficiency of the justice system have the expected results. Steps are also being taken to strengthen the transparency of allocation of cases in courts, and we take good note that the necessary implementing regulation has been recently adopted. It is important to continue the efforts in all these areas, and the Commission has addressed recommendations to Portugal in this regard. And when I'm speaking about human resource, of course, I'm speaking also about budgetary resources and digitalization of the justice system. The Commission has also recommended to Portugal to finalize the legislative framework regulating the High Council for Administrative and Tax Courts. We note positively that this legislation is being prepared. This will be an important step to ensure the autonomy of the High Council. And finally, the report also highlights that investment in the digitalization of the justice system continues. This is also being addressed in the context of the Portuguese Recovery and Resilience Plan. With respect to the anti-corruption framework, the second pillar of the report, we note that the National Anti-Corruption Strategy is being implemented. However, the anti-corruption mechanism established in 2021 is not yet fully operational. We are aware that there are efforts ongoing to ensure its operationalization in line with the recommendation addressed by the Commission. The report also mentions that while the legislative framework to fight corruption has been reinforced, concerns remain regarding the lack of resources for the prevention, investigation, and prosecution of corruption-related cases. And we take note that there are efforts in this regard, in particular with the reinforcement of the anti-corruption teams of the criminal police. The report also highlights that the system of assets declaration has been amended to extend and strengthen the obligations on political and senior public office holders. However, the transparency entity established in 2019 to monitor and verify these declaratory obligations is still not operational. The Commission has recommended that its operationalization should be ensured. And the Commission is aware that some progress has been made in this regard. We hope that the operationalization can take place as announced by the authorities in the first semester of this year, of 2023. We'll continue to follow the development in this regard in the forthcoming rule of law report, because again, it's very important to pass new laws and to organize reforms through the legislative process. But when you have a beautiful paper, the most important element is the implementation. The implementation is of the essence, so with enough resources and with a good functioning in the full independence of different bodies, not only in the justice system, but in the different bodies involved in the fight against corruption. Regarding media pluralism and freedom, the report highlights that Portugal has a solid legislative framework safeguarding the work of journalists, as well as guarantees of independence of the public service media provider. The Commission is also aware that concerns of stakeholders regarding the impact of on the freedom of expression of Article 6 of the Portuguese Charter of Human Rights in the digital age were swiftly addressed, which is a development to be welcomed. However, the rule of law report also takes note of issues regarding the lack of resources, again, of the media regulator and of the public service media provider, RTP. Concerns also remain regarding the precariousness of the journalistic profession. And you know that we have issued recommendations to the member states to organize the protection of journalists after not only violences against journalists in different member states, we have seen some murders in different member states, but also harassment on internet, but also some pressure coming from declarations from officials or from different kind of other people. So it's very important to try also to implement those recommendations. And regarding the system of checks and balances, the report takes note that new measures are being implemented to improve the transparency of lawmaking and the quality of legislation. These are positive developments, again, which the Commission recommends to pursue. The report also mentions that the emergency measures adopted in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic were subject to scrutiny. There are reflections on the need for a new legal basis for the adoption of emergency measures. We are aware that this is one of the many topics debated in the context of the ongoing revision of the Constitution. And finally, the report mentions that the civil society space continues to be considered open, while challenges remain related to access to funding, to financing. The Commission, I said, is currently preparing the next edition of the report to be published in July, normally on the 5th of July. The country visit to Portugal took place in February, and the Commission is grateful for the good cooperation with the Portuguese authorities in the preparation report, as in previous years. I'm particularly pleased that in this context it was possible to meet with the services of the Assembly of the Republic. The Commission has always emphasized the importance of parliamentary oversight in the national system on checks and balances. The 2023 edition of the report will particularly focus on the follow-up given to the recommendations addressed to member states in the previous report. And I want to say that, of course, we try to organize more and more debates at the national level with all the stakeholders, public authorities, but also civil society, about the different recommendations, to discuss about the best ways to implement the recommendations of our reports. And ladies and gentlemen, to conclude, let me encourage you to continue your work to foster the debate on the rule of law and to help us develop a real culture of the rule of law culture across the European Union. I know that Portugal is very aware of the importance of democracy, fundamental rights, and the rule of law. The Portuguese people had to endure the longest dictatorship in Europe in the 20th century. Your country knows that the rule of law has a direct impact on people's daily lives. With the rule of law report, we have a common European basis to discuss the rule of law situation across the continent. We can and we will keep the rule of law high on the political agenda. Let me assure you that the Commission will continue to play its part as guardian of the treaties and use all the tools at its disposal to react to threats to the rule of law whenever necessary. I want just to add that, of course, since the beginning of the Russian aggression against Ukraine, we have tried also to add some goals in our policy. The first one, it's in relation with the rule of law and the justice systems. We want to be sure that it will be possible to bring the perpetrators of all international crimes to justice, and we are working on it with many different partners. And we want also to be sure that Russia will pay for the reconstruction of Ukraine and the reparation of damages caused by the aggression. And to that, you know that we are working on the sanctions to freeze assets of oligarchs and entities. And I'm very pleased to see that it was possible to work with Portugal on this, because we have, till now, 24 billion of euro of frozen assets in Europe. In Portugal, it's 25 million, and I'm hoping that we continue to work on it. And I want just, because I know that you have discussions in the Parliament about that, I want just to add that it's very important also to pay attention to the different ways that we have used in some member states in the past to give the nationality to some sometimes oligarchs, and maybe to use some golden visa schemes to provide also some possibility to come to the European Union for some oligarchs. I know that you have stopped in Portugal to organize applications for Russian people and Belarusian people, but it's maybe better to continue to work on the legislative proposal that you have in your hand to stop the process for the future and to pay attention to the existing situation, because we need to be very strict about the application of the sanctions. But that's that I want to add, due to the exceptional situation that we are living in, because you know that we'll work in the same way on the rule of law, also with the candidate countries, and one of the most important now, with the Western Balkans and with Moldova, is Ukraine, of course, and we want to continue to work also with Ukraine on the promotion of the rule of law in the country. So thank you very much, and I will listen to your comments and your remarks. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I would like to congratulate you for the excellent initiatives of the Commission and on the report on the rule of law. And these were widely debated by our Parliament, and we are looking forward to the publication of the third report that, as you said, will be available in July. We would like to move now to the different parliamentary groups. I would like to start with Commissioner Romualdo Fernandes, representing the parliamentary group of the Socialist Party. I hope you understand that I will not be able to be as tolerant as I was to the commissioner. So please be short. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to greet Commissioner Didier Reiner on behalf of the Socialist Party and its members of Parliament. I would like to thank you for all the information, and we took good note of all that you said. We would like to say that we feel that the protection of the rule of law is a national and European priority. Now, the rule of law is the guarantor of the legal security, social peace, and good governance. And these are areas that we consider to be very important for the trust of citizens. We have always, in Portugal, supported all the dialogue mechanisms between the Commission, the Council, and the European Parliament, together with the member states, national parliaments, civil society, and other stakeholders of the rule of law. Dialogues such as this one are very important to identify challenges, prevent the emergence of new problems and the deterioration of already existing problems. In the recent debate on the report of on the rule of law, we see that Portugal has made a lot of effort and he's committed to implement all the recommendations that we received, namely the adoption of the national strategy to fight against corruption, the national mechanism to fight against corruption, and the aim of this is a preventive one, to guarantee the most efficient implementation of legal mechanisms, to promote articulation between public institutions and private institutions, to improve knowledge and institutional practices in terms of transparency and integrity. You also mentioned the reinforcement of mechanisms in administrative and tax courts, resource to arbitrage, and the reinforcement of human resources. We recognize that there is still a long way to go, but we guarantee that we will continue on this road and that we will monitor all these areas that are very important for the rule of law and the prestige of states. This is an ongoing process. We can never take it for granted, especially considering the growth of populist movements, that question a democratic state. So this is why I would like to ask, in which way could justice in all member states of the EU, how is justice prepared to fight against the attacks to the rule of law. This is all from me. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Romualdo Fernandes. I would like to give the floor to now Monica Quintela, representing the parliamentary group of the Social Democratic Party. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like also to greet. I am sorry. According to our grid, I mean, we will have the immediate answer to the question that was made previously. So, Commissioner, you have the floor to answer.
We have different processes also in the Open Parliament, so I'm open to report to respond to all the interventions, one by one or globally. But thanks for your commitment and dedication about the rule of law and the reforms. I want just to explain two elements in answer to your remarks. First one, it's true that there are different kind of very positive efforts in Portugal to pass different legislative reforms. But as I said in my introductory remarks, it's important to have the legislative reforms, then the implementation. For the implementation, what we are looking for is the resources given to the different bodies, the justice system, but also the bodies involved in the fight against corruption, or the regulatory body for the media, and then the independence of those different bodies, the justice system, but also the different actors in the fight against corruption, or the media regulator that is very important to have. But after that, if I'm looking to the fight against corruption, to be very concrete, it's also important to have a track record. So to see how it's possible to go to a final decision before a tribunal or a court. And we have seen, and we have said that in the report, that for complex cases in Portugal, it's very long. And it's maybe too long before to go to a final decision in justice. And that gives a strange perception also in the population, and the perception is an important part of the trust of the citizens in the justice system and in the different bodies involved in the fight against corruption. So again, I know that there are some change in the procedures to try to solve that, but it's very important to try not only to pass the new laws, to implement those laws, but also to be sure that also for complex cases, it's possible to go to a final decision in justice. And then how it's possible to work together with the EU institutions. I will say the rule of law report is the assessment of the Commission. After many consultations, and it's possible to find in the report what is needed to do following the Commission to improve the rule of law in the EU, because we have sent recommendations to all the participants. But there is a very good collaboration with all the institutions. We discussed that in the Council, in the General Affairs Council, in the Justice Council. We discussed that in the European Parliament. But we are taking into account many rulings, many decisions of the European Court of Justice in Luxembourg and the European Court of Human Rights also in Strasbourg. And you know that we tried to organize the accession of the EU to the European Convention for Human Rights. It's very important. It's an obligation for the Lisbon Treaty. So I will say here, it's a real obligation to do that. But more than that, to be very concrete and to conclude, it's very important to show that there is a good cooperation between the national authorities in the judiciary and the European actors. I mean, a very good collaboration for the police authorities with Europol. If there are complex investigations, don't hesitate to work with Europol. A good collaboration with Eurojust, our agency for the judicial cooperation, again, for some complex cases. And since just less than 2 years, if it's possible, a good cooperation with the European Public Prosecutor Office. I know that we are in the process now to replace the prosecutor, the Portuguese prosecutor in Luxembourg, but if I may, I want to insist on the fact that it's important to reinforce the number, to increase the number of European delegate prosecutors also in Portugal due to the number of cases that we have, and to have the most fluent cooperation between the Prosecutor General and the European Public Prosecutor Office, because we are very concrete about the collaboration. That's also very important. It's a new institution, but it's very important to show that we are working together at the national level with the European Public Prosecutor Office.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário. Agora sim, é a vez de dar a...
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Now, yes, I'll give the floor to Member of Parliament, Monica Quintela. And I'm sorry for messing up the question and answer period.
Senhores deputados, Senhor Comissário Didier Reynders, é um gosto enorme tê-lo aqui. O currículo que o Senhor Comissário tem é um orgulho para quem está ao serviço da justiça. Nenhuma luta nos pode convocar tanto como a luta pelo Estado de Direito democrático, pelos direitos fundamentais, pelos direitos, liberdades e garantias. Essa é uma luta que temos que estar todos unidos. E nesta luta por estes direitos e pelo Estado de Direito está necessariamente incluída a luta contra o combate à corrupção. Sabemos que a corrupção mina as democracias, destrói a percepção e a confiança que as pessoas têm nas instituições. E por isso é necessário que sejam implementadas medidas que possam combater este autêntico flagelo. Vi que na proposta de diretiva na COM 2023-234, relativa à luta contra a corrupção, prevê-se, e muito bem, que seja feito ações profiláticas de sensibilização e estudo para que as pessoas se habituem a conviver e a viver de acordo com as normas da integridade, de acordo com viver com o direito, e para repudiarem atitudes e atos corruptivos. E estamos absolutamente de acordo. Prevê-se também, e aqui confesso que fiquei sem perceber muito bem e gostaria que o Sr. Comissário nos explicasse, porque a diretiva fala na adoção de um único ato jurídico para que todas as infrações e sanções em matéria de corrupção, harmonizando as tipificações das infrações penais objeto de ações judiciais por corrupção, de forma a que pudessem abarcar todo o tipo de crimes. No fundo, como se pudesse estar, por exemplo, a corrupção por ato lícito, a corrupção para ato ilícito, o branqueamento de capitais, o tráfico de influências, como tudo isso pudesse estar num só tipo legal de crime. Eu não sei se é isto que a diretiva propõe e gostava que o Sr. Comissário nos esclarecesse, porque é importante como é que vamos densificar todos estes tipos legais de crime que têm condutas, que são preenchidos com condutas diferentes. O que é que a Comissão tem em mente relativamente a isto? Vi com muita atenção que faz o relatório e que o Sr. Comissário conhece bem a realidade de Portugal. Efetivamente, é muito importante termos boas leis, e Portugal tem excelentes leis. Ao nível legislativo, Portugal tem excelentes leis, mas tem uma péssima aplicação, uma péssima execução dessas leis. O Estado de Direito aqui poderá, melhor, a aplicação da justiça estará em perigo. Porquê? Os tribunais administrativos e fiscais, não obstante, enfim, as últimas medidas que possam ter sido feitas, têm atrasos de 15, 20 anos. Os cidadãos é normal estarem à espera de uma decisão 15, 20 anos. Isto não é justiça, é denegação de justiça. Isto é impedir o acesso à justiça. Os processos criminais, como o Sr. Comissário referiu muito bem, muitas vezes prescrevem porque as investigações, os crimes são complexos e as investigações são muito morosas e há falta de meios. A questão em concreto é efetivamente porque há falta de meios. Por outro lado, e não querendo esgotar o meu tempo, portanto temos estas preocupações com a questão da aplicação da justiça, não posso aqui deixar de dizer que neste momento foi aprovada uma lei das associações públicas profissionais que amordaça a advocacia. Os advogados são o baluarte dos direitos, liberdades e garantias, são quem representa o cidadão, são a defesa do cidadão. Os advogados têm que ser livres e independentes. E neste momento há uma lei que procura regulamentar e procura controlar a ordem dos advogados, pondo inclusive que a ação disciplinar esteja dependente, possa estar dependente dos serviços dos funcionários públicos do Estado. E eu pergunto-lhe como é que o Sr. Comissário, porque isto tem preocupado muito o Estado de Direito, preocupa os advogados, preocupa o cidadão, como é que o Sr. Comissário, pergunto-lhe se tem conhecimento desta lei, da forma como a ordem dos advogados está a ser amordaçada, do que se pretende fazer e como é que vê estas medidas. Muito obrigado pela tolerância por ter ultrapassado o meu tempo. Obrigado.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário.
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner. I know that questions are complex. We are running short of time, so please be kind to take only 3 minutes.
I want to insist on some points because you have insisted on the fight against corruption very concretely, awareness about the rules. First of all, I tried to develop, I said, a culture of the rule of law, and in many occasions we have organized conference and discussions on the rule of law, and at the end of the day, the main common is education. We need to do something about education for the young generations and so on. And so I've tried to ask to organize maybe a meeting with the ministers of education at the EU level to see how it's possible to, again, implement that in the program and not just to say it's important. That's about the awareness for the next generations in Europe about the fundamental rights, democracy, rule of law, and all those actions. Then we work on prevention. Of course, it's very important also for corruption. It's the reason why you have seen that we insist in different chapters, in different member states, about different rules like the transparency, of course, but declaration of assets, register for lobbying, and other kind of different mechanisms to be sure that it's possible to prevent the corruption case. Then the most important is to organize also investigations, prosecutions, and trials. And for that, it's true that we have presented at the beginning of this month some new ideas about the corruption strategy, and the ideas are, again, to try to harmonize different situations. First of all, the definition of the criminal offenses, because we have seen that there are some criminal offenses that are present in some legislations in different member states, but not in others. And so we want to discuss with the member states and with the parliament to see if it's not needed to harmonize the situation and to have the same reference about the criminal offense. And certainly because also there are more and more cross-border situations with different events in different member states. It's the reason why I insist on the Open Public Prosecutor Office, but also between the different justice systems, it's important to exchange, and it's easier to do that if we have the same kind of definitions for the different criminal offenses. The same for the penalties. We need to show to the citizens that we are taking seriously those criminal offenses with the high level of penalties in all the member states and not with huge differences from one to the other. But of course, we'll have a discussion about that. We are not coming with a strict vision on this, but it's very important to try to be very comprehensive about the different kind of criminal offenses related to corruption and with the level of penalties with a certain high level of penalties. Then you repeat what I've said and others about the difference between the beautiful laws and the implementation. It's true. But just to give you an example, it's a general situation in quite all the member states. If you look to the digitalization, it was quite easy since maybe more than 20 years to organize the digitalization of the tax administrations, but not of the justice system. In many member states, we have seen huge progress in the tax administration to collect the revenues for the state, and not so much progress in the justice system. So we need to invest more in digitalization, but the same in human resources, the same in the salaries, and so that's an important step forward if we want to make progress. But to answer also to your remarks about the criminal procedures, we have seen, we'll publish in some weeks for the next Justice Council beginning of June, we'll publish the Justice Scoreboard. And you will see some progress in Portugal about the average of the period of time to go to a decision in criminal case in general. But for the complex cases, it's too long. And we have repeated that, and so it's needed to take initiatives to try to reduce that. And my last remark, it's about the checks and balances, the possible legislation on the disciplinary for the lawyers. Of course, we are in discussion with the bar associations, not only in Portugal, at the European level, to see how it's possible to put emphasis on the lawyers and the bar associations in the fourth chapter of the report, because we want to be sure there's a protection of the independence, again, of the lawyers and of their relations with their clients. And that's an important discussion that we have to develop. Also, the disciplinary regime. So I don't want to go further because it's an ongoing process in Portugal, but we are in discussion not only here about that because we want to be very protective for the lawyers.
Thank you
very much, Commissioner. I will like to give the floor to Member of Parliament Bruno Nunes from Parliamentary Group of Chega. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Mr. and Commissioner. We've spoke here of corruption that are related to corruption, more transparency, transparency of the holders of public offices. And despite the short time that we have, you mentioned a big scrutiny, a scrutiny that was important with regards to the pandemic. You are also responsible for the European Public Prosecutor's Office. There are some clarifications that have been asked to the IPO vis-a-vis contracts that were celebrated by Ms. Ursula von der Leyen and the CEO of Pfizer. We know that the information that we have via the media is that the requests that have been made by IPO did not get any answer, namely regarding a pre-negotiation that happened vis-a-vis these contracts. These contracts led to the fact that we had to pay more than 100 million of purchase of vaccines, and we know that a good part of that has been disposed because they are no longer valid. So we would like to have some clarification on this from you, if possible, because we've had a lot of difficulty getting clarification from the Portuguese government. Regarding the IPO, we have not yet reached the consensus because Portugal has not yet presented the three final candidates, so as to guarantee that we have the similar situation as we have in the European Court of Auditors. And vis-a-vis the IPO right now, we have an issue that has to do with the transparency, because one of the candidates was involved in a process of corruption and abuse of power by a former Portuguese prime minister that was arrested in 2014. And this clearly shows that these cases take a long time. We would like to understand how this makes us image more frail as part of this process. Also, a question vis-a-vis ChatGPT and how, in the future, how do you see, how can we protect Europe and all the citizens in Europe? And also trying to understand one of the motives we feel embarrassed by, which is the fact that until today we have not yet made a clear transposition of the directive regarding metadata. This is something that has been dragging for many years. The way the transposition was being made was unconstitutional. Now we are working on this constitutional review, but to which extent thus this have been not having transposed the directive may be detrimental to some investigation situations with our European partners. Speaking about European partners, how do you see in this aspect of a bigger transparency and separation of powers, how do you see the fact that the representation of Interpol in Portugal was directly dependent from the Portuguese Prime Minister? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I would like to say that we are really lagging behind time. I'm sorry, but I would like to ask for your collaboration.
Questions. First of all, about the European Public Prosecutor Office, it's the best demonstration that we have an independent body. You have repeated yourself, it was an announcement by the Chief Prosecutor, Laura Kövesi, that she took the decision to start investigations about the contract related to the vaccines. And of course, if you want to have more explanations about the procedure, you need to ask that to the Chief Prosecutor herself, because I don't have any information, of course, about the content of the different investigations. It's logical. We ask the member states to organize the independence of the prosecutor office at the EU level. We are able to organize a full respect for such an independence. And so, of course, they work on different dossiers like this one. What we try to do is to give them more and more tools and resources, like I've said, for the Portuguese authorities. So if you look to the evolution of the budget of the EPPO, it was with a huge positive evolution since the beginning of all discussions. The same for the staff and the same for the digitalization with the new case management system. But of course, about the content of the investigation, I don't know where they are, but Laura Kövesi, it's open to come to different national parliaments too to explain not maybe the content of the decision or the procedure that is with her responsibility, but to explain what they are doing more in general. But I don't have more details about that, except that there was an announcement about a possible investigation. About the designation of the new prosecutor in Luxembourg for Portugal, I have insisted this morning again with the Minister of Justice, of course, on the necessity to provide us three names for three candidates. I know that there are discussions with the High Council for the Judiciary and the Council with the prosecutors at the Prosecutor Council about that, but we want to receive three candidates and to try to organize the selection process at the EU level. To don't repeat discussions that we have had, you know, at the beginning of the Portuguese presidency with the previous selection. But it's very important, and I insist on the fact also that it's important to increase the number of European delegate prosecutors in Portugal. There is a request to do that. There are four European delegate prosecutors from the beginning, and the idea was to double the number to have four additional. About ChatGPT, two things. First of all, there are already some investigations concerning the application of the GDPR, because of course that's the first element, data protection. You have seen maybe that in Italy it was possible to take a decision by the independent data protection authority due to the fact that there were no enough safeguards about the way to organize data retention with all the data collected, and with maybe problems about the consent for the retention of the data, and also due to the difficulty to understand the rules about the children. They have said there's no access for the children of less maybe than 13 years old, but with what kind of mechanism to protect that? And so there were action. For the rest, we are in discussion now with the Council and the Parliament about artificial intelligence, and of course there we'll have to take into account the evolution in the AI Act, and for my portfolio in the AI civil liability directive that you are putting forward. About the transpositions, just to say that, of course, it's a problem if there's a lack of transposition. It's the reason why we introduce a lot of infringement proceedings before the Court of Justice when we are sure that there is a real problem with the lack of transposition, but I don't have precise information about the specific situation that you have described, but I've proposed many times to the Commission, of course, to introduce infringement proceedings where there is a lack of transposition. And then the last question was about Interpol or Europol, because I've listened with the translation Interpol, because Interpol is not a European institution, it's an international one, and so I don't want to... But Europol too? No, it's Interpol, I'm sure. Interpol. But Interpol, unfortunately, it's not in the hand of the European institutions, but it's true that we try also to work with different independent bodies, but you know, it's a police organization. It's not a judicial organization. But again, I don't have more precise information about that because Interpol is not a European body. The European body is Europol, and there you know that we are working with an independent organization inside the agency.
Thank you. Commissario.
I will now give the floor to Patrícia Gil Vaz from Iniciativa Liberal. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to greet all the members of Parliament. Thank you for being here with us, commissioners, sharing all your knowledge, and I'm sure that you will contribute to the work of this Parliament. Very specific questions, and the first have to do with the report 2022 on the rule of law here in Portugal. It is mentioned that there are still concerns vis-à-vis the lack of resources for penal action in cases related to corruption, namely in the cases of high-level corruption. It is also said in the same report, and I quote, that measures are being implemented to control and check the statement of assets by holders of public positions. Now, considering this, I would like to put the following questions. First, is the Commission aware of news regarding the closure of certain legal cases, namely the one that has to do with former Prime Minister Socrates? What is there the possibility of certain cases prescribing, and will this be included in the report for 2023? And are you aware that the Portuguese government took more than 180 days to regulate procedures in all our country, and whether the European Commission is going to mention that fact in the report of rule of law of 2023. On the other hand, 1 month ago, the Constitutional Court said in its official statement that he's been waiting for a response from the government regarding the Authority for Transparency. Are you aware of this fact? And if this organization is not created until the end of this year, will this be part of the report for 2023? And last, whether the report will also include that the delays regarding the creation of the Authority for Transparency are due to the Portuguese government. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll give the floor to the Commissioner.
Just to repeat, of course, that implementation is of the essence. And so what you repeat about the way to implement different reforms, it was we are looking at in the new report. So in the 2023 report, we'll assess the implementation of the recommendations put in the report of last year. And so it's true that we will have some comments. I don't want to explain which one in the report that we'll publish in July. Second element, we have seen some efforts to increase human resource, just to give an example, in the criminal police, and maybe to have more people in charge of some investigations. But on a general note, if you look to the report of last year, we took note that reforms to the system of criminal procedure were adopted to allow for a more timely treatment of complex criminal cases, including with regard to possible change to the current organization and structure of the Central Instruction Court. But now again, it's very important to use those tools to accelerate maybe the process, certainly about different complex cases. I don't want to comment on a specific or individual case, but we want to be sure that for complex cases, it's possible to go faster. And moreover, we have recommended to Portugal to continue the effort to strengthen the transparency of allocation of cases in courts, because we are aware that the lack of implementing regulation in this area led also to some delays. And so it's not enough to say that we want to change the system of allocation of cases. It's very important to be effective in the implementation, and we take note positively that the implementing regulation has been recently adopted about the case allocation system. So what we ask about those complex cases is a real possibility to go to a final decision, to have investigations, prosecutions, and then a decision before a tribunal or a court, and not to stay for a long period of time with many risks, like you have described at the end, but to stay for a long period of time without a clear decision in justice. And maybe one of the ideas is not to put all the different elements in one very complex case, but to try to have different kind of specific case and to be able to go faster to justice. And again, about the transparency entity, is the same problem of implementation. We want to be sure, after some years now, that it will be possible to have a real independent entity with enough resources to deliver. And you know, declaration of assets is the first element that we are putting into place in many different member states or third countries when we discuss about the accession process to try to prevent different dossiers of corruption. So again, implementation of the essence. But you will see in the report that there are some improvement, it's true, more resources given to different kind of bodies like the criminal police, but we continue to think that there is a problem with the complex cases and the too long procedure for those cases.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I would like to give the floor now to Member of Parliament Inês Sousa Real from the party PAN. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank the presence of the Commissioner, and I would like to greet you on, and thank you for all the data that you have been sharing with us. While looking at the Portuguese situation, you said that we need a more transparent legal system. There are steps to be made, namely the creation of the Authority for Transparency, but we do recognize that some positive steps were taken, namely regarding human resources, including at the level of the Higher Council of Administrative and Tax Courts. But we know that there is also an authorization to change administrative and tax courts, namely the way they operate. This can improve their efficiency. But as far as we're concerned, there are some aspects that were not included and that we feel are important. One of them is the need to guarantee transparency of legal decisions. They don't need to be disclosed in our country, but this has been recommended as a way to guarantee transparency, but also because access to jurisprudence access is very important for court cases, and we would like to know your opinion about this. Last, I know that you've spoken about artificial intelligence, but in Portugal, our party proposed the creation of a multidisciplinary work group to actually study ChatGPT. We even used this tool to create this project. Resolution project recommending the creation of this team. What we've seen abroad, even in Italy, you know, could be hasty, and we need to make a better analysis regarding the risks of this use and how can this be used in justice.
Just to say that again about transparency in general. If you look to the justice system, I want to insist on one point I've mentioned in my remarks, but also in the reactions to some questions, is the system for the allocation of cases. It must be transparent, and it must be without any influence on the allocation of cases. And because it's a question of course, trust of the citizens, and maybe the businesses too, for some kind of procedures, in the justice system. You need to know that there is no interference in the allocation of cases. And I was very pleased to see that now we have such a possibility to implement the new system. The same for the transparency, entity for transparency or transparency entity, because again, if we are going to a full implementation, it will be possible to organize a real verification of the asset declarations. And it's an important element in the prevention of the fight of the corruption And maybe sometimes it's a very good instrument also to try to push pressure on some officials to be aligned on the rules that we try to promote. But it's not so new. If you look to the discussions that Portugal have had, like many other member states, with the Council of Europe, and in the Council of Europe with one specific body, the GRECO, you have received many recommendations from the GRECO, and you will see that they are not so far from all recommendations. We are working on the same process about the transparency process. But it's true that in the justice system, I try to explain that with the example of the allocation of cases, or in the fight against corruption, transparency is the first element. But we need to have a real verification of this. It's the reason why we insist on the full operationalization of both the mechanism and the transparency entity if we want to make progress. Then on AI, it's a good idea to try to have a working group with different people coming from different universe and with different expertise. We try to do the same at the EU level. It's the reason why I said we are working for the first time in the world with a new framework for the digitalization, for the digital evolution that we have seen. The Digital Services Act, the Digital Markets Act, but now we are working on the Data Act and AI Act, and I said myself on the AI Civil Liability Directive, because it's very important to try to understand better what is it and what are the rules. But again, if you are working on AI, take care to ask to all the providers of AI services that they ever saw, they try also to put into place a full respect of the GDPR, because that's the regulation about the data protection. And it's not because you are going to new applications with AI that you don't have to have a full respect for the GDPR and the protection of the personal data. And I don't want to repeat, I gave the example of Italy. It's an independent decision, but the decision in Italy was taken just on the basis of the GDPR, the protection of the personal data. And it's very important also in AI, because you know AI is using a lot of personal data to train the system. They are working with learning machines, and they are learning on the basis of many data. But we need to be sure that the way to collect the data is in full compliance with the GDPR, with the consent of the citizens, and the retention of data is also in full compliance with the GDPR and the ruling of the Open Court of Justice.
Obrigado, Sr. Comissário, e para uma última intervenção.
Thank you very much. And last, I'd like to give the floor to Rui Travais from Party Livre. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon to all the members of Parliament. A special greeting to Commissioner Rangers. We were together during the Belgian presidency in 2010 to try to close the regulation of the European Fund for Refugees, its third version, and to try to create a joint program for JEF refugees. But what I'd like to ask to you today is something that was very dear to me when I was part of the European Green Group, which is the topic of the Green of Law. Despite the efforts of the Parliament and the European Commission, there are significant steps that were not made to defend the rule of law in the EU. One of the central ideas would be to have within the EU an institution doing a work similar to the Venice Convention in the Council of Europe. I think it is clearly it is very clear that the rule of law is very important for the EU. There are two reforms that we know that we need to do: Venice Convention or a Copenhagen Convention, I would call it. One of them would be via an interinstitutional agreement, the Parliament and the Commission, or we could dream, you know, the Parliament, the Commission, and the Council to create a Wiseman convention that could, you know, actually press the alarm button whenever there is a situation of alarm. This was done you know, for Austria, where we had a committee of experts. Another thing would be to create supreme courts and constitutional courts in the member states to create this such committee. And we would avoid this idea of having, you know, a body in Brussels applying their ideas to all the member states. It was with the Treaty of Lisbon that the European Charter of Fundamental Rights gained an importance that was similar to that of the treaties. There could be a network, you know, between the same courts. Couldn't the EU have play a role, a catalyzing role, with, you know, similar to the one that Supreme Courts and constitutional courts can do?
It is around the rule of law. I want just to insist on the fact that what we are doing is to come with a rule of law report, and the rule of law report is the own assessment of the Commission as guardian of the treaties. Of course, if it's not enough to engage a dialogue with the Member States on the basis of the rule of law report, we are using other tools. We are using the infringement proceedings before the Court of Justice, and sometimes you have seen that maybe in the case of Poland it was possible to obtain a fine of 1 million euro per day, and now 500,000 with some reforms to push pressure on the country about the disciplinary regime of the judge. If it's not enough, now we are using some financial instruments, the Recovery and Resilience Plan, with some milestones on the rule of law, the independence of the judiciary, to give an example. Or we are using the new conditionality regulation, like it was possible to do with Hungary about the fight against corruption, and we are in the process about that. So, and on the top, we have the Article 7 with long procedures. So we are using a different set of tools. So at the end, it's possible to work with the European Commission, with all the institutions, but the European Commission, and also the European Court of Justice, because you spoke about the Supreme Court, is the highest court in Europe, and with the capacity to impose the primacy of the EU law and to verify the full implementation of the EU law. You mentioned the Venice Commission. We are working with the Venice Commission. You know that for all the reform, we ask to the member states to have full respect for the recommendations of the Venice Commission, like I said for the Greco in relation with corruption. And I'm not sure it's needed to organize something new than the Venice Commission, because it's a very important institution with representation from all the member states, but also, of course, from others in the Council of Europe. But what we tried to do, and it was repeated in Reykjavik during the summit in the two last days, is the firm intention to organize the accession of the European Union to the European Convention of Human Rights. And with that, it will be possible to go to the European Court of Human Rights also concerning the European process and the European institutions. And that is very, very important. Last element, of course, we have our own rules about fundamental rights. You mentioned the Charter of Fundamental Rights. The Charter is binding since 10 years. At the beginning, it was not the case, but since 10 years, now, since 10 years, the Charter is binding, and it's possible again to enforce the different elements. And if I may, we have decided in the Commission to stop the process about the cohesion funds due to so-called enabling conditions, because there was not a full respect of the Charter of Fundamental Rights in Poland or in Hungary, and we are also in discussions on this. And my last remark is about what you said about Supreme Court, Constitutional Court. I was impressed by the fact that last year I have organized in November the first meeting with the European Court of Justice, the European Court of Human Rights, the two presidents, and the president of the Constitutional Court in Europe. But we don't have in all. We have 15 around with one council in France. We have Supreme Court doing the job, playing the same role, or other mechanisms. And I want to insist on the fact that following the treaties, it's possible to change, but following the treaties, we don't ask to all the member states to have the same justice system. It's possible to have or not a Supreme Court, a Constitutional Court, and so on. But what we want to be sure that it's possible to have an independent justice system is the treaty, and to have an access to an independent judge is the Charter of Fundamental Rights. And that we try to build. But it's true that what is very important to conclude, and I'm trying to do that with you also today, is to have more and more exchanges between the national authorities, the exchange between the ministers in the Council, there are some exchanges in the European Parliament, but sometimes I have seen that there are not so much or so many exchanges between the highest authorities in the member states. The parliaments are trying to do that, but Consular Court or Supreme Court have some meeting, but not so much. And so I will organize again in November this year a new meeting with the European Court of Justice, the European Court of Human Rights, and the different consular court in Europe, because that's the most important element. But again, we don't ask to have the same justice system in all the European Union. We ask to have an independent justice system. And we have some rulings from the European Court of Justice, some rulings from the European Court of Human Rights, to explain what is it and to make a definition, to give a definition about the independence of the justice system. Now, I want to thank you for such an opportunity to exchange again with you. I want to say that you will see on the 5th of July our assessment about the implementation of the recommendations of last year. And I repeat what I have said to the members of the government this morning. It's very important to pay more and more attention to the implementation of the reforms and the fact that in the budgetary discussions there are enough resources, human resource, digital resource, to the different bodies involved in the different processes, because that's of the essence. And I know that the budgetary discussion, it's a difficult one in all the member states, like at the EU level.
Commissioner, I think that this was a very good hour where we shared about a topic that is very dear to all of us, and we consider that it was worthwhile speaking to you and hearing for you. Therefore, I would like to thank to all of you, Commissioner, all the colleagues, the representation of the EU in Portugal, and the Portuguese Parliament will always have our doors open to you. Thank you very much. I declare the session closed.